Last Sunday, I preached out of the book of Nehemiah. I'd like to begin there again today. Few books, these prophets right around this area here it's so rich. Of course, all God's word is, but there's just so much contained in here. As I was reading through here again during the week after I had preached last Sunday and really preached on that Nehemiah's first prayer there in the first chapter, I thought, well, I'll just continue through here, but after I read a couple of verses, I'd like to jump back to the book of Ezra, and some things jumped out at me here, and I hope the Lord is in this. In the second chapter, in the eighth verse, where I'd like to go, speaks of a letter here. This is after the point where Nehemiah had requested of the king of Persia that he might go back to Jerusalem from Babylon and to address the rebuilding of the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the temple already having been rebuilt, which is the concentration in the book of Ezra. And the king granted that, and there's a reason for that. So let me grab a phrase out of that eighth verse of the second chapter. A letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. So he recognizes that what's underneath all of this is that the good hand of God is upon him. Now, immediately at this point, then in the 10th verse, his adversaries come into play here. And there's some similarities between Nehemiah and Ezra in this, and I'd like to address some of Ezra's adversaries as well, and the scenarios, the actions there that were taken. But in this 10th verse, it lists the Sanballat and Tobiah here heard of it, of this rebuilding, that the fact that the king has granted Nehemiah the authority and materials and all to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But it says, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. These people did not want these walls rebuilt, and it grieved them exceedingly. That makes perfect sense. They're adversaries. They didn't want Nehemiah to be successful, nor the children of Israel. They're upset. They're grieving because he's seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. So that sets that up. Now, so we know that, again, remember, the good hand of my God is upon me. And now I'd like to go to Ezra chapter 4, the first verse, when in fact it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. And the sentence continues here, but so the adversaries heard of this, the rebuilding of the temple. Again, Remember that this now addresses the rebuilding of the temple itself. This is prior to Nehemiah's rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, or leading that. And also these Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, don't forget, they had taken thousands of people back from captivity, the king of Persia freeing them from bondage, thousands back, and yet it was only a remnant. It was only really, in total, about 5% of all of the Hebrew people that were in Babylon, and very small percentage that actually went back to Jerusalem. But remember also, it had been 70 years when Zerubbabel first took 42,000 back in his group. So it was a remnant that went back there. So as I begin this fourth chapter, I want to just keep in mind in the first chapter, first verse of Ezra right here, just one page back, keeping my thumb over here in chapter 4, that the 1 verse 1 says, in the middle of that, says, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia." And it goes on there. I'm going to jump back to chapter 4, but the Lord touched the king of Persia to release them. Now, Persia, again, repeating from last Sunday, had conquered Babylon. They had overtaken them. This king was touched. His spirit was stirred up by God. The good hand of God, of my God, is upon me. And I think of that in that place there. And so he decreed all this. And you can read first, second, third chapters here in Ezra and see that of what all he decreed. But he supplied Ezra with what all he needed to rebuild the temple, just as Artaxerxes and Darius provided what Nehemiah needed, over and above what was asked. Nehemiah just wanted to go back and now he requested specific things, and the king granted that, being stirred up by God in that. Again, this is the point after this captivity, this judgment of God upon the Hebrew people, upon Israel, that were punished because of what was listed back over there in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter that I read last Sunday. This judgment here. But now, God, keeping his promise, he's freed them after 70 years, and so he's blessing them. Many times as I read this and I study this and see the hand of God upon them, and I see where God stirred up this Persian king that he would release the Hebrew people to return, were they to choose that, back to their homeland of Judah and Jerusalem. And I think, well, that makes sense. This was the chosen family of God here in time, sometimes I forget in my life. Satan will convince me, why would God even bother with you? What does he care about your little feeble life? But he does, if we consider and remember how God sacrificed his only begotten Son for us. There's the importance. When we question, why would God even care what happens to me in my life, the importance placed upon us here, just as the children of Israel, was that there was a sacrifice made. And so he does, and the hand, the good hand of God is upon us. We've seen that. We've experienced that. I have personally. Throughout each facet of my life, each part of my life, I see God's hand in, whether it's work, family, my home life, my church, or just physical safety and so forth. He watches over us. And yet, things still happen. Satan would deceive us and say, well, look, God caused this to happen or that to happen. Or if anything, Satan would say, well, he allowed that to happen and get us all stirred up. But God does watch over us. Think, this is life, and it happens. We have adversaries, And so, but we'll see here what Ezra's adversaries did with him. Remember that Nehemiah's adversaries, his enemies that were against him, were grievous. They were exceedingly grievous at grieved at what was happening here that was good for Israel. So here in chapter 4 of Ezra, then, the adversaries heard of this, that they would rebuild the temple. Then they came, second verse, chapter 4, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asser, which brought us up hither. So there's a difference here. Apparently, that these adversaries, these enemies, they want to help them. They're saying even that we seek your God as you do. Let us build with you. They don't seem to, as I read over there in the second chapter of Nehemiah, that they that they were grieved exceedingly at this. They seem to want to help here. And so at that then, I can think of in that, putting myself in this position, then I can think of all kinds of reasons that Zerubbabel and the others might have accepted that help. Well, maybe this, okay, I'm kind of doubting, being pessimistic if they're really wanting to help, but maybe we can, they can help us. Maybe we'll grow in some kind of a relationship or something and have compassion on them and let them help us. But Zerubbabel, third verse, Zerubbabel and the rest of the chief fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. So they said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need your help. We don't want your help. That this is our house that we're going to build here, and so you have nothing to do with us. Well, that's kind of hurtful and offensive. They'd offered to help here. Well, we soon see, in fact, in the very next verse, what they had in mind. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Now we see the true nature of these adversaries that might have been quote-unquote friends here and helpers of them. They didn't want to help them. And so Zerubbabel certainly made the right decision, and the elders made the right decision here, and the rest of the chief fathers of Israel. So then they begin to trouble them immediately here, and they decided to send a letter to the king, Artaxerxes, around the 11th verse. Jump down there. And in fact, it says here in the 11th verse, this is the copy of the letter. I love the clarity in that. Here is the copy of the letter that was sent. And we'll see another letter in a moment. And there's a copy of that in here. And so as far as documentation, and I go back to church history, Sister Meredith, you know, and the fact that the things are documented, names and dates and so forth. I converted an old reel-to-reel tape of Sister Joyce's grandfather, Elder Gilbert Dalton, as digital and put on CDs for him and all, and there's no date or place, and it kind of, I want to know where that was. I want to know when it was, and he died around 1961-62, I've been told, but I want to know it. But here it's this is the copy of the letter that they sent to this king, Artaxerxes, here. So it's documented, and I'm not going to read all of this letter here, but just some points here. They're telling the king that the Jews which came up are come up to unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set the walls thereof and joined the foundations. So they're calling them rebellious and bad. And Israel was. That's why they're coming out of bondage. That's why they were in bondage in the first place for 70 years. Their rebelliousness, the rebellion to God. says, if, and he's writing this letter to the king of Persia, be it known now, if this city's builded, and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom? So we have some, they're being dishonest here. They don't have a clue that they're not going to pay taxes and tribute to the king of Persia. But they're telling the king, they're stirring it up. You talk about sowing seeds of discord here, so they won't pay toll, tribute, and custom. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified the king. They're letting him know. We're supporting you. We're writing you this letter to fill you in on this and being good people toward these bad, rebellious people. So this is the letter they're sending to the king here. These are these adversaries that said, oh, we'll help you rebuild the temple. We'll help you rebuild the house of God. It's the same God that we worship. Not so much anymore. And they're telling him to look through the records, search the books and the records to prove this and all in the rebellion, in which it's all there, and they could find the rebellion of Israel. And he says, we certify, 16th verse, we certify the king that if this city is builded again, and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. They're really making this look bad for the king, for Israel. So the king sent an answer, and so it ends up in the last verse of the fourth chapter. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So it worked. Their letter to the king worked, and the building ceased. It just stopped right there. So it worked, so as we move into the fifth chapter here, this is where the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah come in that got him going again. Again, trying to just pick out certain places to read to move on and not be any more tedious than maybe I am being, So Haggai and Zechariah are prophesying, and it's so good to go and read those prophecies and see what they said to God's people that they got the building going again. But the fifth verse of this fifth chapter brings back in the good hand of God is upon me, that same thought there. And of the first verse, first chapter, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord's in this. He's touching these people. He's blessing them. And that's what I attribute to even when my adversaries are, whether it be at work or just in traffic on the freeway or something, there, and my adversaries are coming at me then. Still then, God, His hand can be and is upon us in that. And we can still be optimistic. We can be guided to thoughts that glorify God, even in that. Sometimes I have been maybe reacted so well to my enemies, and many times I am my own worst enemy. And yet at those times, then maybe it's when I'm at my lowest, then. That's when the good hand of God is upon me and shows me again what the Lord God Almighty has done and has given me given to His people. Even in our depression and anxiety, stress, our problems, our mourning, then God can still be and is glorified in that. The fifth verse here, fifth chapter of Ezra. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. His eye was upon them. Now we know that that even his eye is on the sparrow, the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows us to that detail is the point that's making then. The eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews that they could not cause the adversaries. They is who they is. This can shift here if we don't look at the pronouns carefully. That they could not cause them, the elders of the Jews, to cease. So the adversaries, so the eye of God was upon them so strongly that the adversaries could not cease the elders of the Jews in the building till the matter came to Darius. And then they return answer by letter concerning this matter. So they're going to write, the adversary is going to write another letter to Darius this time. He's the king at this point. So they're going to write, well, the first letter worked, didn't it? That worked. It shut down the building. But now, you know, these prophets of God, Haggai and Zechariah, come in here and messed everything up and got them going again on the rebuilding of the temple. Because the hand of God has touched them. The eye of God is on them. And so they're going to write another letter. And so here's the copy of sixth verse, the copy of the letter that the governor sent to Darius the king. And they sent a letter unto him wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. So they're starting out, oh, all peace. They're going to be good again, these adversaries, in this letter to the king. Be it known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of great God, which is builded with great stones, timbers laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. So when we were young, I don't know if your children, as you raised them or are raising them, know the term tattletale. But we knew that, and so Mark, my younger brother, well, I remember one time in particular, he was always telling on us, my older sister and myself. So one time I called him a tattletale, so he said, I'm telling because you called me a tattletale. He's going to go tell because I called him that. My point was proven. They're telling the Darius the king. They're going to run to him and say, look, they're rebuilding this temple here. They're building it and prospering, and it goes fast here. When the king had said to stop, to cease building prior to Darius. So be it known to the king, these things. And then they tell him in this letter, we asked, then asked we those elders and said unto them, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? Who told you to do this? Well, God is certainly the right answer. They say, well, we asked their names also, 10th verse, to certify thee, to tell Darius, that we might write the names. So they're going to get names. They're going to list them out here and tell the king, this is who's going against the decree of the king of Persia. So we asked them their names. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So they're going through. When they ask the names, what are the names of you guys building this temple here, working against the king? And they said, and they're admitting to what happened here, that we were taken bondage because of what we did. We provoked God and were delivered. But then in the 13th verse, they tell them, and this is all, again, this is in this copy of the letter. Remember that these adversaries are writing to the king of Persia. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. So this is not good that for the adversaries, that they're telling them the Cyrus, the king, decreed this. And so they go through all of that, and now down in the 17th verse, last verse of the 5th chapter, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon. So these adversaries in this letter are telling King Darius, just go look, search the records. This is about to backfire on them because they're telling them, go search the records because that decree of Cyrus is not there. They're counting, they're betting on that. So go search the records in the king's treasure house there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus to build this house at Jerusalem. So chapter 6 then, Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. He found Cyrus's decree that they'd build the house. So in this letter, had they not written the letter at all, it might have been turned out fine for them, but they wrote the letter telling, certifying to the king, these people are still building this house here that that the king, prior king said not to. So search to see. They're telling us there's this decree of Cyrus that they build the house. And so Darius found this, and so this then has backfired on these adversaries. Remember, the good hand of God is still upon them. The eye of God is upon them here. They're just doing what they're commanded to do and what they're guided to do and what they're stirred up by the Spirit of God to do here in service to God. So it goes through the history there. I won't read all that in the sixth chapter. But then, so Darius then says in the seventh verse, and this shows that God blesses us with so much more abundantly than we can ever ask here. Let the work of this house of God alone. So leave them alone. The king is now telling these adversaries, let them alone. Let the building go on. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, so the eighth verse has something a little bit different here. Moreover, because they'd said, you're not going to get a dime in taxes if you let them build this house, this temple here. So he says, moreover, Darius says, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of the Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. So all of the tax money that would have been collected and given to the king, he's saying, y'all give it. He didn't say y'all, but you give it. That's only in Texas, I guess. You give it to the Jews. Give it to them. So not only does he say continue building the temple, but give all the money to them. I don't remember, somebody said, quote some preacher, and I don't know if it's correct, accurate, but some preacher years ago said, ain't God good? That's what I don't know if it was Brother Alton, somebody said that, but yes, he's good in that now this king has been stirred up, Darius has, that he gives all the tax money now that would have been collected that they said he wouldn't have gotten. He said, give it to him to build the temple. In the 14th verse of this 6th chapter. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah. They builded and finished it. And we knew that they finished the temple, obviously. And later on, then Herod comes behind and improves it, adds on to it. And many times it's called Herod's temple. So they said they finished it. In the 15th verse, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar. So it's in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So they give some dates and times, even the month it was finished and the day. So it was finished in spite of the adversaries. And even now, what in the world would this have to do with us and me now? Bring it back down to just me, to us here. It certainly proves, again, I remind you again, that this is not the God of the Old Testament. This is God, the same eye that was on them, the same good hand of God that was on them. It's the same God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the same God. And his eye is upon us, God's people. And he blesses us, it seems like to me, rightfully so, day in and day out, I'm put back under bondage for something that I've done according to the judgment of God. I know right now at this moment that he loves me the same. He loved me before I loved him. I've got nothing to boast of there. So they finished this temple here because of the hand of God and the eye of God upon them. And so I pray I pray that the will of God be done. We should live within the will of God. We owe it to Him to do that in our lives. And on top of that, if I'm just going to be selfish, then I know I'll be blessed for that. I hope that I don't just serve God. I'm not just a close disciple of Jesus Christ because of what I'll get in this life. If in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have hope in the next life, the continuation of the eternal life that you have. And so and that's the spirit of Cyrus that was stirred up by God Almighty, was the spirit that had been cleansed by the blood of Christ, not even having been born here of a virgin yet. Regenerated the same way that each of us have been by the application of the blood of Christ, because God knew full well that Jesus Christ would come and save His people from their sins, of which many of these are in that group. And they're there, soul and spirit, they're there. I forget about that Elder Sonny, that's his soul and spirit. They're in heaven right now, and what he's witnessing there, he's there with all the other innumerable number. How about that? But we can't number it, but it shows the preeminence of Christ, that there is a great number there, and that we don't have to be concerned with that, but I need to just simply, within my heart, and Ezra, I won't go there, in the 7th chapter of Ezra, it says that he prepared his heart to follow the Lord, to do that work, and then he did the work. If I only had the wisdom and the frame of mind that I would prepare my heart, that I would pray the same prayers of David, like that Brother David prayed today, that King David prepared his heart. He wanted within himself a clean heart and to serve God. I know our soul and spirits are made clean and perfect, and Jesus Christ is there even now, or else this would just be foolishness to you. It may be tedious from time to time, and I may not get what I need to get out of a minister's sermon, but it's not foolishness. I know there's something there, even when it's maybe over my head, let's remember, when our adversaries are attacking us with everything they have, and what I thought I would go in today, maybe I'll do it another time, is how in Nehemiah, when they were building the walls of Jerusalem, then they were building it, had one tool in one hand, whatever that is, and they had their sword girded upon their side, and they had to carry a weapon along with the tools that they would rebuild that. You talk about hard work and dedication, and we must do that. And whether or not you think of the Word of God, the Bible, as your sword, but we have to be prepared to fight battle back against our adversaries, but at the same time continue building, continue working, that we might get it into heaven. No, because we're going to be there, and there's work to be done here. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll close the service now, and if anyone has a desire to join, you let us know, and then we'll shake one another's hand.